Should I get a Masechet Shabbos? I know that
it's good to have a Masechet Shabbos, it's good to have a Ram Milchus Shabbos, but you know, I want to get started, so I don't know, you have to juggle your priorities. Okay, so at both sides, we're taking a look at the Gemara at the very beginning of this sugya. On Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, and the Gemara establishes that according to Rav Huna, those shmonim and psilos that were disqualified for Ner Shabbos are likewise disqualified for Chanukah, whether it's the weekday of Chanukah or the Shabbos of Chanukah. And the Gemara analyzes why is it that Rav Huna disqualifies these oils. And the Gemara answers because Rav Huna holds Kavsa Zakukla. Now, you have to add another element into the equation because Rav Huna emphasized that even on Shabbos you're not allowed to use these psulim. And that sounds like Shabbos adds another element into the equation. And that element is going to be what we call Shema Yata. That we're afraid that since Mutal L'shtamish Liora, according to Rav Huna, you're allowed to benefit from the Ner Chanukah, Toch Kidei, as you're benefiting, you might inadvertently tamper with the Ner. Hence, we have two dinim in Rav Huna. Number one, that you can't use the Shmonim during the weekday of Chanukah, and that's because Kavsa Zokukla. And number two, that on Shabbos is another additional element, that if you use these imperfect oils, you might violate Shema Yata, and that's a Shmus of Shabbos. Now it's interesting that Rashi has a presentation here about what this Kavsa Zakukla is all about. It doesn't sound like Rashi's learning the way we would learn it, that Kavsa Zakukla simply means that you have to rekindle the lead. Rashi gives a whole background here. Rashi says Zakukla litakna, which means that the Nair is still alive, but it's not too well. It's like a Gosais kind of thing. Well, again, Shema Yata is a Shabbos problem. Rashi's talking about during the weekday. So what do I care if he's mata the Nair? On the other hand, Rashi wants to say that he should have stood over the Nair and been very careful. You know, you need providence here to supervise the Nair because he sees it's already getting weak. And therefore, Hilkach, Tzarch Lechatchila Lasos Yofeh, Lechatchila, we want to use the Shemen that's perfect. Why? Because if you use this imperfect Shemen, Dilma Pasha, Rashi says, this is three lines before the end of Chafal Famanav, Rashi says, Dilma Pasha, Velo Mesakin La. In other words, if you hold Kavsa Zakuk La, then there's a requirement to be Mesakin the Nair, and make sure that it'll last. And he's not doing so. Why? Because he's pasha. You know, he goes on his merry way. He's not willing to spend that extra time and that effort to supervise the Nair. And that's a violation of litakna, of the zakukla litakna. That's what Rashi says. Now, what I'd like to do is open up the Rambam with you and figure out why, in the case of the Rambam, on Ner Shabbos, are these oils possible? Okay, then, so the Rambam says the following. In Perek Hey, Milchus Shabbos, the Rambam says, I'll read to you, Halacha Ches, Shemen Shemadlikim Bo B'Shabbos, Tzor Shei Nimshach Acha Psilo. It should be the kind of an oil that would be sort of drawn by the wick. Avol shmonim, there are certain types of inferior quality oils, she'enam nimshachem achar psila, and he gives you a whole long list of them, that they don't really get absorbed by the wick, is ein madlikim behem. U'mipnei ma, ein madlikim bepsilos, she'en ha'ar nitleis behem. Why do we disqualify these wicks, velo b'shmonim shenim nimshach apsul, and these oils? And the Rambam says, gzera shemiyya or haner ofel. So the light of the candle is darkening, it's dimming. V'yata osav b'shoshi yish tavish li'ora. Then while he's using it, he'll be in violation of Hatoya. So now we have both Rashi and the Rambam, that as far as Shabbos is concerned, the problem with using these inferior quality oils and wicks is the problem of Shema Yad. Now, the Tosis Yishonim quotes Rishonim, the Rivan. They say that the reason why we can't use these oils on Shabbos is because Shema Yechave, maybe it'll go out. In other words, just like we said in Hanukkah, we're worried about the candle. The candle is not going to successfully give light. So too, in the case of Shabbos, we're afraid that the Shabbos candles won't give any light. In fact, this concept called Shema Yechave, in the case of just want to write this down, Shema Yechave, in the case of Ner Shabbos, this should be what we call a kal v'chomer. In the case of Ner Chanukah, if it'll start getting dim and weak, then we can hope that the person will fix it up. Rashi says, maybe Dilma Pasha. In the case of Shabbos, there's not even an option to fix it up. So why does the Rishonim, meaning Rashi and the Rambam in this case, why do they have to introduce this Shavus of Shema Yata? The Rambam is asking if they ma'ein madlikim b'hem. Why don't we allow the use of these wicks and oils? And the answer should be Shema Yechave. It's just like in Ner Chanukah, we want it, you know, the goal is to get the light of the Ner, you know, the Ner should be lit. Here too in Shabbos with the Kal V'chomer, we want it, you know, our goal is that it should light up the room. And we're dealing with inferior quality oils and wicks, so why not just say that the reason why we should disqualify them is simply because Shema Yechave, they might go out. And he doesn't even have an option of rekindling them. He doesn't have an option of fixing them up. That's the question that we want to answer. Anybody here want to repeat the question just to make sure I clarified it? Don't all answer at once? Right. Why do you have to introduce Shema Yata? The Rambam is asking why these Shmonim and Psilos were disqualified for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. The answer is because they're very weak, they're unreliable, and then they go out. The whole purpose is to keep the light going over people. So indeed, the Ravan, one of the Rishonim, says exactly that the reason why these wicks and these oils are disqualified for Shabbos use is because Shema Yechave, because they may go out. And if they go out, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. It was an exercise of futility. So why is Rashi and the Rambam introduce Shema Yata when it would seem, especially in the light of the Gemara's equation here between Ner Shabbos and Ner Chanukah, that we just need that basic equation? We don't want the light to go out. On Shabbos, we want the light to be there, to light it up. And with these kinds of shmonim and psilos, who says that it's going to remain lit? The Ravan seems to have the simple pshat.
You might forget yourself.
You might forget yourself. But again, even before you get to this, you might forget yourself. But what about the quality of the light itself, the reliability of the light, the persistence of the light? You're right, Lenny. There might be a problem of Shema Yata as well. And that's going to depend upon whether you hold Mutal L'shtamish Li'ora or Osol L'shtamish Li'ora. In the case of Ner Shabbos, for sure it's Mutal L'shtamish Li'ora. So you definitely have an issue of Shema Yata. But the Rambam is asking, mipnei ma'ei madlikim b'hem, meaning why can't we qualify these oils? Why do we push them down and disqualify them? And the answer should be, and that's the Ravan's answer here, is because it won't last. If the light won't last, then the whole point of Ner Shabbos was not achieved.
Shabbos shouldn't even come into the equation.
Right, maybe later on, after you solve the problem of Shema Yechave, you convince yourself that the Ner will last and it'll achieve its goal, despite the inferior quality, then you could introduce another element of Shema Yechave. Of Shema Yata, of the Shvus that Shema Yata, that since he's Mutal Ishtamish Lior. But that would seem to be more appropriate for a second stage. First stage is, imagine if I would tell you that you had a kind of an oil that would last for about 3 seconds. You know? Do you know what I mean? Like, that's why my wife asks me to help her out and light the candles of the Shabbos candles first and blow it out. Do you have any of that? Because sometimes if you're lighting it and it's close to Shabbos, it immediately goes, you know, you have to sort of train the wick, so to speak. So if you light them and then you blow them out, you know, it'll stay. And if I would come and tell you that this wick is going to last for a few seconds and then it's going to go out, you'll tell me, well, let's disqualify it for Ner Shabbos because you haven't achieved your goal. And then you're right, Lenny. You know, after we convince ourselves that these shmonim are reliable to get us to achieve that goal, then you might say, well, you know, we'll see it's going out and we want to benefit from the candle and we might come to play around with it. So it seems that this shita, the Tosi Yeshonim here, the name of the Rivan, makes a lot more sense. Oh. So in order to explain perhaps why the disqualification is not based on Shem Yechaber, we're going to ask the following question. What is the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos? Is it the Maisa Hadlaka, the action itself? Or is it the continuous light that the Ner Shabbos is given?
I'd say the continuous light of Shabbos.
Oh.
That would be good.
Right, and I'm going to add another element to the Shalom Bayis. Here, let's expand Shalom Bayis, because Shalom Bayis really means that I won't trip and fall in the darkness, but I can even go a step further. I want to light up my Shabbos table.
You can't enjoy the food and dishes.
Exactly, because we enjoy the food when we see the food, and we can cut it up in a nice way, so we need the Ner Doluk for the Suda Shabbos. That's Oneg Shabbos. What would perhaps push us in a different direction? That maybe, the Maisad Laka in Ner Shabbos would be sufficient. And that would itself be... What do you say?
The bracha. The bracha is lahadlik.
Okay, that's a good point. Asher kitshonu mitzvosu mitzvonu lahadlik in Ner Shabbos. Maybe it should have been Asher kitshonu mitzvosu mitzvonu right, lenos miyar Shabbos or lahavos ner doluk or lechol sudosi al yada yada or. Fine. So let's see if we can develop this in the Rambam. The Rambam, when he talks about Ner Shabbos, he does so in not one place, but in two different places. And if you know anything about the style of the Rambam, that's a dead giveaway, that there are two dimensions to the mitzvah. Let me start with Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos. There the Rambam formulates the mitzvah called Kavod Shabbos. And the Rambam says, Ezu Kavod, how do you fulfill this mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, which is, by the way, a mitzvah that's derived from a pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi, because the pasuk says, L'kdosh Hashem Mechubad, and the Gemara says that this pasuk is referring to Kavod Shabbos. The beginning of the part of the pasuk is referring to Oneg Shabbos. It says, V'karosel Shabbos Oneg, but the end of the pasuk is, L'kdosh Hashem Mechubad. In other words, we should give honor to the Kedushas HaShabbos. So the Rambam goes through a whole long list of actions that a person has to go through in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. He says, Mitzvah Adam Lirchotz Panav Yodav Veraglov, Bechamin. Okay, we would say take a hot shower. Be'erev Shabbos, Vishuk Kavod Shabbos. The Rambam says that he should wear his finest begadim. The Rambam has a whole discussion here about wearing a talis and going out to be makabel the Shabbos. He says, Chachomim arishonim hayu makabtzim talmideim b'erev Shabbos. The Chachom would gather together their students. Misatvim, they would wrap themselves in a talis. V'omrim, bo v'neitzei l'krash Shabbos ha-melech. What else? Mikvod HaShabbos sheyilbash ksus nekiya. Make sure his clothes are clean. Velo yemalbush hachol kemalbush HaShabbos. He should wear different special clothes. And then the Rambam writes that he should also make sure that he has a ner, a special ner that he lights for Shabbos. Interesting. The Rambam says, "Masader adam shulchano b'erev Shabbos." On erev Shabbos, he should organize his table. A lot of people are lax about this. They don't realize that the Rambam requires such a thing. They wait until, you know, they're ready to eat the meal and it's an hour into Shabbos and then they set up the table. That's not really right, because the Rambam goes out of his way to say Masader adam shulchano b'erev Shabbos mishum kvod Shabbos. And the Rambam goes on to say that he should organize the entire house. Tzorach l'taken is based on mibodyom if they covered Shabbos. The aner dolug for shulchan aruch mitavutzas kol elu lichvod Shabbos hen. Now, Rabbosai, what is common to all these? Exactly, they're all an erev Shabbos. Now, it's interesting because the Rambam in Perek Hey of Hilchos Shabbos, 25 chapters earlier, when he discusses the mitzvah of oneg Shabbos, there he talks about enjoying the Seuda. And he puts Ner Shabbos here again. When I say again, this is really the first of the two, but a second time, the Rambam has the Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. And the Rambam writes that the purpose of the Ner Shabbos is to benefit from the Ner, Lishtamish B'Ner. And the Rambam wants the Ner Shabbos to enhance the Seuda Shabbos. So let's read a few words in the Rambam here. This is Perek Hey Alocha Aleph. Hadlokas ner b'Shabbos eino rishus, etc., etc. But rather, it's like a chova, lirdof achreo adji asem. You know, make sure you have to run after it, meaning you have to buy a ner, make sure, you know, don't just wait passively. You know, the ner is not going to fly down from heaven. Then he goes on to say that Echad Noshim v'Echad Noshim Chayovas Lios b'Bateihem Ner Dolok b'Shabbos. Interesting. When he wants to emphasize the nature of the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos and that both men and women are obligated in this mitzvah, he says Lios b'Bateihem. What does that sound like when he says it should be in your house?
Men and women.
It sounds conceptually that he's talking about a chovas bias. Do you remember that we discussed way back when, if you were with me then, that there are a few mitzvahs, maybe three or four, that you could define as a chovas bias, meaning that the bias has to be equipped with something. For example, a mezuzah, the bias has to be equipped with a mezuzah. What else?
A makeh,
excellent. What else in the case of Hanukkah? A ner dolg, right? Because you want to make sure that somebody going by your house will see, and that's the pirsum on this. The Rambam uses the same language to set up the bias with a ner dolg bichlal onik Shabbos, the Rambam says. Afilu elo mashi yochal shol al psochem lokech shemen madlikas aner sheze bichlal onik Shabbos. Now, interesting, if it's onik Shabbos, then when is the mitzvah actually fulfilled? Is it possible to fulfill Onik Shabbos on Erev Shabbos?
Only on Shabbos itself.
So the Ner is being set up, so the bias will be equipped with the Ner Doluk, and he can now enjoy Onik Shabbos. That's not what we saw in Perek Lamed. In Perek Lamed, the Rambam talks about Kovet Shabbos, talks about Erev Shabbos, has a whole list of activities that we engage in order to set up the beauty of the house and receive the Melech, and that's called Kovet Shabbos. Amongst them he lists the Ner Dolok and the Shulchan Aruch. Aruch meaning that this table is set up. And the impression you get is that if the Rambam codifies the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos in two different places, one in Perek Hey, when he's discussing what? Onik Shabbos, and another time in Perek Lamed when he's discussing Kavod Shabbos, it would seem that there are two different what?
Aspects
to the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. One is the kiyum of Onik Shabbos, and again, when is that fulfilled?
On Shabbos,
when he enjoys the benefit of the Ner. So on Erev Shabbos, he's supplying his bias with the Ner, such that now on Shabbos he can make the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Then the Rambam has another dimension to the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, a kiyum of Kavod Shabbos, and that the Rambam restricts to Erev Shabbos. So on Erev Shabbos, he has the kiyum of Kavod Shabbos. Now, If on Erev Shabbos he has the mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos, what would you say if he lights the Ner Shabbos, let's say 15 minutes before Shabbos enters, and then 15 minutes later, or let's call it 20 minutes later, 5 minutes after Shabbos enters, the candle goes out. Did he fulfill the mitzvah?
He did.
He did, because again, Kovet Shabbos is not Erev Shabbos. It means you have to do whatever you... Now again, if the candle went out and he still has 5 minutes before the melech is arriving, meaning, because the Rambam identifies Shabbos as a melech, then not the Bali Kabbalah identifies Shabbos as a malka, but... If now he has another opportunity to light the candle in honor of the melech, for example, let's say I set my table, my children mess up my table, but I still have 5 minutes before Shabbos, I can still be Mekayem Kovet Shabbos. But once I cross the boundary line and I've already had these things organized, when Shabbos entered, then I fulfilled my mitzvah Kovet Shabbos. Now, if this be the case, Rabosai, if there's another element to Ner Shabbos, and that is Kovet Shabbos, then let's go back to that question here about why the Rambam puts all the emphasis on Shema Yateh, and that's why these inferior oils are disqualified. The Rambam says nothing about Shema Yechaveh. Well, maybe it's not so tragic if Shema Yechaveh, because would the mitzvah be totally gone? No, he would forfeit the mitzvah of owning Shabbos, but he still maintain the mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos. Like, for example, if let's say you would ask me the following question. Would a person fulfill the mitzvah? He made a bracha on Lahadik Ner Shabbos, and 15 minutes later, after Shabbos entered, the candle blew out. Would his bracha be a vain bracha? Because he fulfilled at least the aspect of Kovet Shabbos. Again, if he had a guy, let's say, I'm not entering into the issue of Amir Ol Yaakov Shavuos, but theoretically, if he had a guy to rekindle the lamp during his Suda, or before his Suda, he would be able to gain an enhancement of Onik Shabbos. But assuming he doesn't have such a thing, he would have to forfeit the mitzvah of the Kiyum of Onik Shabbos, but not at the expense of the Kiyum of Kovet Shabbos.
I'm just going to extend the metaphor further. If the king comes and a Shabbos, he says, the candle was lit, that's great. And then it goes out, and the witnesses go out. Okay, they tried.
And
he saw it go out.
And they were macabre, you know. Yeah. They brought out the seven-piece band, and then now we go on in life.
Which is different if he came in and it's not even lit. That's
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, in the handout that I gave you, I'm always burdened with this responsibility of photocopying pages, but I actually did give out these pages in the past. So, if you take a look on page Gimel, let's see. I wish I had some spare copies, but it doesn't matter. I think you'll get the punchline. He says the following: there are more rights in Hilchos Shabbos Reish Samach Gimel, that if he had a ner that was lit way before Shabbos, and it lasted going into Shabbos, he's got to put it out and rekindle it. Now, what does that sound like?
It's to light.
To light. If the mitzvah was only a ner dolug,
you already got it.
Then he already got it, and he has a ner dolug. Like, you know, putting it out and rekindling is not going to give him a superior light to the one he had before. You know, he hasn't gained anything. It seems like an exercise of futility to put it out and then rekindle it. Unless you postulate that the Ramah has a Maisag look, and that makes sense in which context of the Ramah, the two dimensions of the Ramah. Kovet Shabbos, that we said Kovet Shabbos is the act of kindling the light, and therefore the Ramah says, you know what, you didn't kindle this light with Kovet Shabbos, it was too early. The Halach is going to set up a time period which is close enough to Knisas HaShabbos such that time period makes it into a lighting for the sake of Kovet Shabbos. If on Sunday morning I light an air and I call it Kovet Shabbos, that's halachically meaningless. So therefore, says the Ramah, when you put this light on Sunday, you know, you lit this candle, and now the candle is lasting until Shabbos, you're lacking in the element of Kovet Shabbos. Put it out and rekindle it. You know, the onlooker thinks you're a little bit weird. Aren't you a little bit strange? You're putting out a candle just to replace with another candle. Why are you doing such a thing? But the answer is, if the act itself, the Maisad Loka, has to be with Kavod Shabbos, this Maisad Loka was too far removed. It wasn't in any way conjoined. It wasn't Mitzurah, as we'd say, to Shabbos, and therefore it doesn't have the key of Kavod Shabbos. As far as the mitzvah of owning Shabbos, there would be no point in putting out the light and rekindling it. He's got a light, and he's going to eat his meal to that light. But since the Rambam understood, the way we saw in the Rambam, that there is an extra element here of Kavod Shabbos in the Mais HaDloka, what defines this Mais HaDloka, what uplifts it or upgrades it to the status of a Kavod Shabbos? The fact that he lit it right before Shabbos, meaning lit Kavod Shabbos. Here he lit it Mivod Yom Gadol, you know, way, way before. He's lacking the mitzvah of the Mais HaDloka. The mice of mitzvah of the Hadlaka. Oh, if that be the case, then, as we said before, if the candle goes out and he's not able to enjoy the Onik Shabbos element, he still can salvage the Kiyuma mitzvah of Kavod Shabbos. So that his Hadlaka Mishum Kavod Shabbos was fulfilled and the bracha was fulfilled even though the candle went out. Oh. And if that be the case, let's go back to the Gemara. The Gemara says that according to Rav Huna, Kavsa Zokukla, correct? And according to Rav, that's here on Daf Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, the Gemara says Kavsa Ein Zokukla. Oh. So now, if the Gemara says that according to Rav, the inferior wicks and oils can be used for Ner Chanukah. Why? Because Kavsa Ein Zokukla, which means that he fulfilled the mitzvah
of
Hadlaka, even in the worst case scenario, because of the inferior quality nature of these oils, it went out. But we don't have to be nervous about that because Kavsa Ein Zokukla, which means the mitzvah is the Mais HaDloka. Now, let's take that and graft it on to the Mais HaDloka of Ner Shabbos, insofar as the Mais HaDloka is a kiyum of which mitzvah? Of Kavod Shabbos. Oh, so in that context, we can also apply the principle of Kavsa Ein Zokukla, meaning that he fulfilled his mitzvah, and therefore we can allow for those wicks and oils to be used on Shabbos. Are you with me on this? In other words, let's make the following equation. From the perspective of Ner Chanukah, we have a principle called Kavsa Ein Zokukla. That's Rav Shita. And that is going to allow me to use the inferior oils because all I need is to set up this Mais HaDloka. If I transpose that or transfer that over to Ner Shabbos, at least from the perspective of Kavod Shabbos, I now have the Mais HaMitzvah, the Mais HaDloka of Kavod Shabbos, and what difference does it make if the oils are inferior? So therefore, I'm not going to quote this halacha of Shem Yechaveh in order to disqualify these Neros. I'm going to have to use a different principle called what? Shema Yateh. And why aren't I going to activate the principle of Shema Yechaveh? And the answer is because all I need is a Mais HaDloka, and if the Mais HaDloka would be enough to justify the bracha and achieve the clincher, the kiyum of Kavod Shabbos, is then what do we have to worry about? We have to worry about the fact that it'll go out. Now here again, you might say the following: well, let's worry about the fact it'll go out, the Shema Yechaveh, and then it'll forfeit which mitzvah? The mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, right? So maybe from the perspective of Onik Shabbos, we should be concerned. The answer is like this: that according to Rav Huna, let's say if the ner goes out, then that's it. Ner Chanukah, you forfeit the mitzvah; it's gone. And therefore, we're going to worry about the possibility in these oils that they may go out. But that's what you call chashasha di alma. It's only a suspicion. We really don't believe the candles are going to go out, but we have to worry about it and consider that possibility. But that's only because if in the worst case scenario the candle goes out, we forfeit the entire mitzvah. But in a case where if the candle goes out, we still maintain the kiyuma mitzvah, although albeit we don't have the full-fledged mitzvah, but we have enough to justify the mitzvah as a kiyum, then for that we don't have to worry about this possibility that maybe in the case of the inferior oils, it'll go out. So let me read to you what he says over. He says that again, if you could predict it, like I gave you an example before, that after 3 seconds it's going to go out. But here we're talking about self. In other words, the reason why, according to Rav, all these inferior oils are kosher for Ner Chanukah is because he fulfilled his mitzvah of lighting a Ner, a Hadlaka, which is royally dolik. We have a chashash that maybe it'll go out. But it's royally dolik. And again, once it's royally dolik, that sets up Hadlaka. So all we need, if you want to write this down, is Hadlaka royally dolik. And even though there's a chashash, maybe it'll go out, but it's still, that doesn't undermine the fact that this is Hadlaka royally dolik. And since according to Rav, the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Hadlaka, therefore, these Shmonim Epsilus will be kosher. Why? Because I've had luck on real Liskayim. Elo, what is Chashash? Maybe it'll go out. It doesn't matter. Because I fulfilled the mitzvah immediately without luck. Is Nered about Lukas Ner Shabbos, when we get to the Chashash of Shem Yechaveh, and therefore, since the mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos is in the Maisad Loka, the Kovet Shabbos, then we can allow these Shmonim and Psilos to be kosher. Again, it's a big chiddush over here. What we're saying is that even if one dimension of the mitzvah might be lost, we're still going to allow you to use these Shmonim and Psilos for the sake of one aspect of the mitzvah. You know, you could have argued the other way around that, look, it's an all or nothing proposition. Either you fulfill both Kovet Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, both a Maisad Loka and an Ner Doluk, and if you can't fulfill that, then don't even bother. Get yourself a better quality oil. Why tamper with an inferior quality oil with which might end up in undermining the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos? He says, Lefi zerei osi shaper hodakosu rashi rama tam shei madlikim anach psilim ushmonim hu mikhsha shem yate v'lo tikshi lomo lo kosvu atam mishum shem yechaveh. And the answer is because shem yechaveh is rak havitam shlo yotzach hovas hadloka. You would only activate the principle of Shem Yechaveh to passel these shmonim if you would end up after the kibui, after the extinguishing of the candle, with nothing at all in your hands. Shlo yotzach hovas hamitzvah. In the case of Ner Shabbos, we have two dimensions to the mitzvah. We have not only Oneg Shabbos, but we also have the mitzvah of hadloka mishum kovet Shabbos. So therefore, to say that we should disqualify each one because maybe they'll go out, when even if they do go out, you still have maintained the basic mitzvah of Kovet Shabbos in the Maisad Loka, that far we're not going to go. We're not going to undermine and disqualify those Shmonim Psus because maybe it'll go out and you will have forfeited the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Because again, even though you forfeited the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, you didn't completely annihilate the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, because the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos will now be fulfilled insofar as what Kovet Shabbos is concerned. Mishum Hachi, therefore, Kosvu Rashi V'Rambam Hatam, why do we disqualify these inferior oils? Is B'Shema Yata. In other words, that even though you fulfill the mitzvah of what? Of Hadlokah with a Mais Hadlokah with Kovet Shabbos, but we don't want to tolerate this. Why? Because you might come to violate a Malacha Doraisa of Havara. That's called Shemayate. But to quote here, the Shemayachave, when even in the worst case scenario, if it would be Nichbe, you would still hold on to the basic mitzvah of what? Of Hadlokah of Kovet Shabbos. That we're not going to go so far. So that's Hakofa Aleph. Okay, then. So we have more or less a picture of the way this might work out.
Interesting that lighting candles is just makshiri mitzvah. I mean, I'm not sure Shiva's the lighting candle, but Shiva's having the light on Shabbos.
That you light it when?
That you're lighting the Shabbos candle is a makshire to having a lit candle. That's not my goal, is the light. My goal is to have a light on Shabbos.
Even from the perspective of Onet? I mean, I agree with you from the perspective of Kavod, but I thought, think if you introduce Onik Shabbos, then...
And the whole purpose is Onik Shabbos.
Right.
To get to it, I have to light the candle. It's just a makshire to the...
So why do you make a bracha?
I don't know. I mean, that's to me, the bracha should be on the lighting, on the having a lit candle.
Well, no, because having a lit candle is not an action. You know, usually right. A bracha is organized on an action. But on a state of being, which is a passive, you know, which came about passively, we don't make a bracha. So you could argue that even though ner dolik, as far as Onik Shabbos is concerned, and even if I had a ner that was dolik from yesteryear, I could still be mekayim my mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. I wouldn't make a bracha on that. The reason why we make a bracha on ner chanuk, on ner Shabbos, is because of the element of kavod Shabbos, which means the ma'isa hadlok. What are you saying, Joel?
It's a minor aspect of the light of Shabbos. It's just not.
Which one is minor, the Kavod Shabbos or the Onik Shabbos?
Or the Kavod Shabbos.
Oh, you think it's minor?
It's minor. I don't. There's no
chashivas. It's secondary.
It's a secondary thing. The thing is having a light on so I can see my meal. So that's what I'm
saying. I don't know that. I mean, I would argue.
Really?
I would argue the opposite, that if there's a bracha on their Shabbos, and the Ramah says that. Why is there a bracha on the Shabbos? Because you have to put out the candle and relight it. Then you're talking about a ma'isad loka. Why do such a thing? Why put out the candle to relight it? It seems that...
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying. It seems like Kavod Shabbos is very... Now, again, you know, for me to come along and tell you that Ner Shabbos is Kavod Shabbos, I can't... What chutzpah do I have to say such a thing? But the Rambam indicates it almost explicitly. He's got a long list of ma'isim in Paraklam, all of which are a Kavod Shabbos. And he says, make sure that you have the Nair together with your Shulchan Aruch. You know, it becomes a package of Kavod Shabbos. Now you may say, well, that's an afterthought of the Rambam. And that's secondary. But the main thrust of the mitzvah is Onik Shabbos. Well, then I'm going to ask you two questions. Question number one is, why would we make a bracha on Onik Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos? It's only a makshir. And question number two is, why would... question number two is why bechlal would you have a bracha? What was my first question? One second, let me get. I thought I had two questions. Let me make sure if I have it. Again, question number one is why do you put out the candle in order to rekindle? That doesn't make any sense. If the main primary mitzvah and the goal is owning Shabbos, right? And question number two is the bracha on having an air doluk beveso. I don't know. That's a passive state. Ben, what do you say?
I was going to say, just along the same lines, building a sukkah is an extra mitzvah. Right. But we don't make a bracha when we take out our... But in the case of Halakha Nerot, there are two aspects, and one is necessary and sufficient. I have to light it in order to have it for my next Shabbos.
But that would generate a bracha.
Right.
That would be like having a sukkah so I can sit in
the sukkah. I could go to somebody's sukkah and make a bracha, even though I didn't build it. I just think
so that's why you need the Kavod Shabbos element to justify the bracha.
Why not bracha and setting the table?
Oh, that's a good question. That's an excellent question. Could be that Chazal
all thought the same.
Yeah, the Chazal saw the candle, the
all covered.
Yeah, all inclusive. Yeah, like it's one bracha on Kavod Shabbos. I don't know. That's an excellent question. Oh, now he has a Ramban. What is this Ramban all about? On Chaf Amud Aleph, the Gemara says that from the fact that Rav Huna disqualifies these inferior candles on Shabbos of Chanukah, it must be because Mutal Ishtamesh Li'ora. So Tosus is bothered by that, because Tosus says maybe the reason why Rav Huna disqualified these candles on Shabbos of Chanukah is simply because Kovso Zakukla, because meaning in Ilkas Chanukah, this is not a kosher Ner Chanukah. Who says anything about Mutal Ishtamesh Li'ora and Shaviyata and so forth and so on? So on this we have an answer to the Ramban. Tosus Hikshu Minoli to Sover of Huna. Minolan, how do we know the Mutal Ishtamesh Li'ora? Dilma Hadi Omer Ema Alika B'Shabbos Mishud to Sover Kofsa Zokik Lo. Meaning to the extent in which this oil is possible for Chol of Chanukah, it's possible also of Shabbos of Chanukah, because Kofsa Zokik Lo. So who says that mutal ishtamish liora and shemayata and the whole? So the Ramban gives the following answer. Sfir leila talmuda, the Gemara holds, says the Ramban, keva de b'shabasi efshal lihizakek lo. There's no way that you can fix up the nair and replace it if it went out. Therefore, lo chay shina umadlikim b'chol hashmonim mikeven she'efshal shlo yichavu afol pishal afamim kovim lo ichpas lo. V'shabas l'man di yomakov se zokek lo dino shovel lechol lemandi omer kovsa ein zokikla. Whoa, very heavy language of the Ramban. We'll go over it a few times. He says kshem shebechol mutul hadlik mishmonim alolu. According to Mandi Omer, who says kovsa ein zokikla, is the same thing applies to Shabbos, even if you hold kovsa zokikla. In other words, it goes like this. In Hanukkah, we're going to have a machlokas whether kovs is zokikla or ain't zokikla. But the Ramban says that when it comes to Shabbos, everybody's going to agree that ain't zokikla. So ain't zokikla in Shabbos is like zokikla in Chol, in Hanukkah. So in Hanukkah, we're going to say zokikla. But in Shabbos, we don't say Zokakla. Why don't we say Shabbos Zokakla? Because he can't light the candles on Shabbos. So the Ramban insists, therefore, that we have to take the position of Ein Zokakla. And we're saying that in Ein Zokakla, all these Shmonim inferior Shmonim are kosher. So we're going to say the same thing with regard to Ner Shabbos. Now, I'm not sure exactly where Shemayata fits into the Ramban. It seems like, according to the Ramban, we can derive the conclusion that in Ner Shabbos, everybody's going to hold Kovsa. Just one second. Let me go over it one more time. He says the following: Efshe shlo yichavu afal pishul famim kovim is lo ichpas lan uv Shabbos l'man liyom kovsa. Zokikla dina shavu lechol lemandi omakovsa ein zokikla is kshem shebechol mutal hadik b'shmonim alolu v'yom kovu ein zokikla af b'shabbos kein l'divrei akol. So even though I normally hold kovsa zokikla, but here in the case of Shabbos, it's mamish kovsa ein zokikla. Why is ein zokikla? Because although I might argue Kovsa Zokakla on Chol, I can't possibly argue Kovsa Zokakla on Shabbos, if I have to take the position of Kovsa Ein Zokakla. Now, Kovsa Ein Zokakla means that all the Shmonim are kosher. Is therefore, in the case of Shabbos, where everybody agrees that Kovsa Ein Zokakla, all the Shmonim of kosher. Hareisha Kosova Ramban, Diba Shabashi, Efshali Zokekla, Afal Pisha Lafamim Kovim, Mikamisha Efshashalo Yichabu, Lo Ichpaslan, Vishabas Lamadioma Kovsa, Zokekla, Dino Shavalachol, Lamadioma Kovsa, Ein Zokekla. So Shabbos has the din of Kovsa Ein Zokekla, even if I hold Kovsa Zokekla. But that's only during Chol you could say Kovsa Zokakla. You can't possibly suggest Kovsa Zokakla on Shabbos. And if we have to assume Kovsa Ein Zokakla. If Kovsa Ein Zokakla, then we have a right to rely on these inferior qualities. So what's the bottom line over here? Why is it then that I cannot use these inferior qualities? And the answer has to be because of Mutal Shtavish Liora and Shemayata. So again, here's how the Ramban proved. So the Tosis was saying that there's no proof from Rav that Mutal Ishtamish Liora and Shemayata. Maybe Rav is just simply applying the principle of Kovsa. Just one second. Ein Zokakla, right? That Kovsa Ein Zokakla. And therefore all these Shmonim are possible. I'm sorry. That guy, Kovsa Ein Zokakla and all the Shmonim are kosher. So how's the Ramban answering Tosis' kasha? Let's just go over it one more time. According, Tosis is asking, how do you know? Maybe he's just saying that Kovsa Ein Zokakla. What was Tosis' kasha? That maybe Tosus is asking, how do you know that mutal ishtamish liora? Let's go back to Ravuna. Right, how do you know, according to Ravuna, that mutal ishtamish liora and shemiyat, that maybe Ravuna is operating with kovsa zokakla? Oh, says the Ramban, because even Rav Huna would agree that when it comes to Shabbos, is kovsa ain't zokakla. So one second. Kovsa ain't zokakla. He's going to use these oils. Wow, this is really wild, the Ramban, because you're saying that during Chol, we're going to apply the principle of kovsa zokakla, and therefore all these shmonim are possible. But on Shabbos, that those very same shmonim become kosher. Kosher because of kovsa ain't zokakla. Wow. Do you hear the chiddush of the Ramban? Shoot. This is like a mathematical coup d'etat over here. The Ramban is saying that if in the case of Shabbos we have to assume the kovsa ain zokakla, then those very shmonim, which are puzzle for, let's say, 7 out of 8 days of Chanukah, for one night of Chanukah, they become kosher. Because all of a sudden halacha switched from kovsa zokakla to kovsa ain zokakla. And that's on Leil Shabbos. So let's say I was selling you oil for Chanukah. So what I could do is, says the Ramban, this is before the Mutal Shabbos Yorah and Shemiyata, what I can do is I can sell you 7 expensive units of oil and 1 cheap unit of oil. And I can get away with it. Why? Because that 1 cheap unit of oil you're going to use on the night of Shabbos for the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Why? Because with regard to the night of Shabbos, the halacha is going to be kovsa ein zokakla. And if it's kovsa ein zokakla, then all these inferior oils will be kosher. So now you can buy 2 sets. It means you can save yourself a little money. Yeah, but Lamaisa, it's not so, because the Gemara says that you can't use these oils even on Shabbos because of Mutal Shtamish Liora and Shemayat. But if not for Mutal Shtamish Liora and Shemayat, then Enochinami, these oils would have been kosher. So Tosa's cash now falls away. Tosa's cash was, how do you prove for Rav Huna that Mutal Shtamish Liora, even if I hold Osel Shtamish Liora, I have to pass all these oils on Chanukah because they're pass the rest of Chanukah for all the other 7 days of Chol? The answer is no. Dafka on Shabbos, they become kosher because Kovsa ain't Zokikl. And everybody would agree that on Shabbos is Kovsa ain't Zokikl. Ulefi ze lechori yesh lomar, the sphere le l'rashi v'am Rambam ke haramban, the b'Shabbos, she efshal li zokeklo dino shovel chol l'man yor kovsa ein zokeklo, and it's had the same din as the man yor who holds on chol kovsa ein zokeklo, and all these inferior ones are kosher. Mishum hachi lo kozvu atam she'ein madlikim b'shanach shmonim b'silus b'Shabbos v'yichshah shem yichaber di b'Shabbos lo ichpas lon v'dino shovel chol l'man yor mar kovsa ein zokakla. In other words, it's impossible, according to Rashi and the Rambam, to activate the principle of Shem Yechaber, because that principle of Shem Yechaber only operates within the framework of kovsa zokakla. So why do we, let's say Rav Huna, why does he disqualify these shmonim psilos? And the answer is because he holds kovsa zokakla, and now we can operate with the principle of Shem Yechaber. Oh, but now we get to Shabbos, and in the case of Shabbos, there's no kovsa zokakla. If there's no kovsa zokakla, then we have no chashash of Shem Yechaber. Hence, Rashi and the Rambam had to quote, invoke the principle of Shem Yata. Let me just think about it one more time, Lenny, and then I'll ask you. One second, if we're going to hold. So again, what was the kasha? Why does Rashi and the Rambam say that the reason why these shmonim and psilos cannot be used on Shabbos is because of Shemayata? Right, the Rambam says Shemayata. Why not just say Shemayachaba? And the answer is that Shemayachaba only applies if you hold kovsa zokakla. But if the halacha is kavsa ein zokik lo, on Shabbos for sure it's kavsa ein zokik lo, then all these shmonim could be kosher. Therefore, that forces the Rambam to introduce the principle of Shema Yata. Lenny, you have it? It's kind of mathematical. I mean, you have to really have a good degree in math to follow this. There's something, though, that bothers me here. He's about to ask a question. I don't know if it's going to be my question, so I can't tell you. But I'm bothered by this. One second. In the case of Shabbos, something's wrong over here. What are you telling me? That since it's Shabbos, you won't be able to rekindle the lamp, right? So therefore, you're going to use isn't that counterintuitive? You're going to use an inferior quality lamp because even in the worst case, if it goes out, you can't rekindle it anyway. But Adarabha, maybe we should. So the answer is what? Let me see if I have it. That even in the case of Chol, of Chanukah, we're not really afraid it's going to go out. But in case it does go out, you're going to have to rekindle it. That's called Kovsa Zokakla. So the reason why we're going to apostle this is because I think it works like this. The reason why we're apostling these oils is because we're afraid that you're not going to rekindle the lamp. And in the case of Shabbos, that doesn't make any sense. Because you can't say we're afraid you won't rekindle it. You can't rekindle it. Yeah,
Ben? We're in the world of mathematics. On Shabbos, the issue is there's a certain point in time when you cannot rekindle it because it's breaking Shabbos.
Right.
A Hanukkah question of, well, am I allowed to? Because the bracha is levatala, and I'm actually obligated to rekindle it. So what makes it complicated mathematically is the variables might have the same din, but different reasons for din. I'm concerned about...
Well, wait a second. Let's say with Rashi. So Rashi says that... You know, the Hanukkah candle starts to dim a little bit.
Right.
And it's an inferior quality oil, and you at that point you have an obligation to fix it up.
Right.
So that the bittul ha-mitzvah here, in other words, the what word am I looking for? The negligence, I'm looking for a different word, but anyway, the non-fulfillment of your obligation here is a result of the fact that you didn't tamper with the nair in order to fix it up. To make sure that it would continue lighting. That's the old kavsa zokakla. But in the case of Shabbos, I can't possibly say to you, well, you know, the light is unreliable. You should be standing over the light, waiting to see what you can do to improve it and make sure that it continues lighting. I can't tell you that on Shabbos. Is Mamela, I'm going to tell you, see, here's the point. This conclusion is a little bit iffy. The conclusion is that therefore you can use these inferior lights. Yeah, I would go one of two ways. I could say, well, if you're not going to be able to fix it up, so then I don't want you even getting into this thing. You know, just avoid the whole business of these inferior quality oils. Or I could say the other way, that you know what, use these inferior oils, and on the outside chance that it go out or it gets weak, you're not responsible for that because we cannot impose that responsibility on you. And the whole reason why we're going to disqualify these oils is because of this responsibility that we want to impose on you to hover over the nair, if you pardon that phrase, and make sure it keeps going. But and then we're going to be afraid that maybe you won't do that, and therefore it's going to be possible. But if there was never an obligation for you to stand over the nair, then for sure I can go back to square one and say I'm going to rely on the fact that the nair will last, because even in the worst case scenario that the nair becomes iffy, we cannot impose upon you an obligation to stand over the nair and improve the nair because it's already Shabbos. So the bottom line is that the thrust of why we passel these candles is because we're afraid that you won't live up to your responsibility. But that only makes sense if there is such a responsibility. Says the Ramban, in Shabbos there's no responsibility. So the train of thought now, going backwards, is that since there's no responsibility, therefore that we're going to go back, we have no reason to say, well, maybe he won't live up to his responsibility, because there is no responsibility at all, and therefore we can go back to square one, in which case we assume that the nair will probably last. Ben?
Since there are two aspects, I mean, now the world of Rambam is there's a Kavod Shabbos before Shabbos starts, and then there's the Oner Shabbos afterwards. do I have an obligation while I'm still in kavod mode to watch over it and make sure that it stays lit?
No, probably not. You know, because again, we define the Maisa Hadlaka as the mitzvah. And you did the Maisa Hadlaka, and now you could rest on, you know, rest back on your laurels and assume that it'll last until Shabbos. You don't have to stand over the candle. But in a case where we're saying that the whole mitzvah is ner dolok, then again, it's not realistic to impose upon you that obligation to stand over the ner. But what I can impose upon you is the responsibility to get yourself the best quality oil that has the statistical, you know, probability of long, you know, long life, and that I could impose on you. So again, there's a paradox here, because what we're saying is that those same candles that are puzzled during Chol of Chanukah now become kosher on Leil Shabbos of Chanukah. Why? Because you don't have a possibility of rekindling the light if it goes out. And therefore there's no way I can apply the principle of Kosa Zakakos. So at this point I would have said to you intuitively that, well, if there's no possibility of rekindling it, then for sure we should passel these oils, because we won't get anywhere with these oils. So I think that maybe he's still relying on Ner Shabbos as a Maisat Loka because of Kovod Shabbos. Let's just think it out. So why couldn't we introduce here Shem Yechaber? Because if we're saying that the mitzvah is the Maisad Loka, that's called Kovod Shabbos. It seems to me, and I hope I'm not misleading you, that once we have this Ramban, we can completely omit everything that we said until now. That's what I think is going on. You follow this Roman numeral number one, Roman numeral number two. And there's no overlap between them. Roman numeral one, number one was, why does the Rambam need Shemayata? He can't use Shemayachava. And the answer to that is because of Kovod Shabbos, which means that the Maisad Loka is enough. So even if I'm afraid that it'll go out, who cares? Because I achieved my mitzvah, at least, you know, the minimum of Kovod Shabbos with that look. Now he's coming up with a whole new pshat. Why doesn't the Rambam introduce Shema Yechaber? And the answer is because Shema Yechaber is based on what's called Kovsa Zokakla. Meaning that I don't have to worry about Shema Yechaber. I'm only worried about Shema Yechaber if he won't live up to his responsibility, and when he sees it weak, he won't supervise it. And we're afraid of that Pshia. But that's all predicated on the assumption that we can impose upon him an obligation to stand over and supervise the Nair. But in the case of Shabbos, says Rambam, we can't do such a thing. And therefore, all these Shmonim should be kosher, and the whole Svar of Shem Yechaber doesn't apply. So what we've done now in Rambam numeral number 2 is, we, according to this Rambam, we've actually altered our understanding of Shem Yechaber. Shem Yechaber has nothing to do with the statistical probability of the candle going out, but rather reflects the statistical probability of the candle getting dim, and that he, the Madlik, will not live up to his responsibility to supervise the candle. But again, you have to emphasize in big neon lights his responsibility to light the candle. But there's only responsibility to light the candle when it's feasible to light the candle, but not on Leil Shabbos. That's what I think is going on over here. Then he writes, "Ala ikar divrei Ramban tzrichim biur de lami yecholok ikar chovas ner Chanukah b'Shabbos mi b'chol v'im b'chol lo yotza im kovsa is gam b'Shabbos havile lemeimar de lo yotza." He's saying the following. It's true that you can argue on Leil Shabbos that he's not negligent in his responsibility of Zokakla because he's anus. You know, there's nothing he can do about this situation. It's Shabbos. But nevertheless, as far as the Kiyum HaMitzvah is concerned, you know, just because you're an anus, that doesn't mean you achieve the Kiyum HaMitzvah. And insofar as the Kiyum HaMitzvah is to have this Nair lit, then you should not be allowed to use these inferior quality oils, which we assume will not be lit. He's saying, yeah, I'll read it again. Ikar divrei Ramban tzrichin bir delama yehi choluk ikar chovas ner Hanukkah b'Shabbos v'bechol. How can you tell me that certain oils which are disqualified the rest of Hanukkah on Chol are kosher on Shabbos of Hanukkah? In b'chol o yotza, again we're going according to Rav Huna who holds kovsa zokuklo, is gam b'Shabbos havelil neimer delo yotza. In other words, why do you put all the emphasis on the Zaka Club? Put all the emphasis on Kavsa? And if there's a statistical serious probability to be reckoned with of Kavsa, that itself should disqualify the candles. Oh, the Hine Rashi, Kosav Hilkuch, Sorech Lechatchila, what was Kavsa Zaka Club? I mean, you have to get the best oil because we're afraid that when he sees it's going out, he won't be misakin it. Lufi dvar b'Shabbos lovi poshev b'mesha eno misakin. Right, and therefore there's no kavsa zokakla. So again, what we're saying now according to Rashi is that kavsa zokakla, which passes the neros according to Rav Huna, is not based on the fact that there's a statistical probability of 20% that it'll go out. No, that's not what we're worried about. What we're worried about is that there's a very high probability of chances that he might be negligent in his responsibility to be masakin it. And that responsibility doesn't apply in the case of Shabbos. Ulub tzarchim b'divrei Rashi, the kevadim kavsa lokiyah b'mitzvah lomali taim Hashem yov. Why does Rashi have to come on to this whole fantastical, complicated presentation that he won't stand over the nair? Why just say that the nair will go out? Yeah, but the answer is because if the nair goes out, he'll certainly rekindle it. That's what I would say. Let's see if he's going to say that. Sorachim v'divrei Rashi came on the imkavsa lokia mitzvasa lomali time of the shem yifshar. Okay, you want to say he's an onus? He went to business. He thought it was going to last. Blah blah blah. Fine, but nevertheless, he didn't fulfill his mitzvah. Because if you hold kavsa zokkla, the mitzvah is ner doluk. Biyod afil yasov yadliketo mikomakom mizvan shenichba adshi yadliketo a bottled mitzvah. So the lomakos of Rashi atam rak mishum chashash shema yivsha velo yasov yadliketo. What compelled Rashi to come up with this whole fantastical structure of shema yivsha? Why didn't Rashi just say shema yichave? And therefore, he forfeits the mitzvah because we're holding that the mitzvah is an ner doluk. So let me ask you a radical question. If you hold kavsa zokakla and you light the candle and it goes out, did you fulfill the mitzvah in ner Chanukah or not? It sounds to me, Rashi's saying you did fulfill the mitzvah in ner Chanukah, but you didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Lesaket. You were Poshea, Rashi says, in the obligation to be Mesakimla. Dilma Poshea below Mesakimla. I don't know if Rashi's going as far as to say that he forfeits the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Maybe he doesn't forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, even if he holds Kavsa Zokakla. Well. If, again, you know, if let's say it's Erev Shabbos, when you say owning Shabbos, you have to talk about Erev Shabbos because he can't be Masakin on Shabbos. So if it's Erev Shabbos and he still has a few minutes and he sees that the candle is getting dim or it's flickering, then Enoch Inami, he should have to be Masakin it. So Rashi's creating this whole business here of Dilma Poshvalo Masakin. I thought Rashi was saying Dilma Poshvalo Masakin because Rashi held that if it went out entirely, for sure we should rely on, you know, Kol Yisrael Tzadikim, right? Amechulu Tzadikim, that'll certainly rekindle it. So therefore Rashi says, what's this whole nervous tension about that it might go out? So it'll rekindle it, Nishkefela. So Rashi came up with a different answer that he sees that the candle is still alive. It's on its deathbed. It's on its way down, but it's still alive right now. It's flickering. So he's going to say, "All right, that's enough. You know, I'm out of here. I did what I had to do." And Dilma Pasha, Velo Masakin Lo. So then we're assuming that we need a ner doluk, and he dilma pashul of a sakin. You'll end up without a ner doluk. Now, if that be the case, then lechora we should be able to apply this to Shabbos as well. And what are we going to say? Here we're going to say he cannot possibly rekindle the light. So it's not a dilma pashul. So we'll go back to Shem Yechava, that you're left without a ner. See, in the case of Chol, I'm not worried about you left without a ner, because you'll just rekindle it. And Rashi thinks it would be terrible for a person to see that his ner went out and he didn't rekindle it. That far, a person, there's no suspicion. But in the case of Shabbos, he cannot rekindle it. So maybe in the case of Shabbos, we can go back to square one and say Shem Yechava, he'll end up without a ner. And we're not using the first approach of Kavod Shabbos, right? We were leaving that out. Let's just see. Ulam tzarech ima divrei Rashi, the kevanim kav salokim on mitzvah. So right now he's assuming that if it goes out, he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah. So what does Rashi gain by saying dilma yifsha v'lo yisaken? Let's just say it'll go out. And l'chora, let's see, is that similar to the question that we asked on the Ramban? The Ramban says that on Leil Shabbos we can be machshir these things. Why? Because there's no Dilma Pasha. But what about Dilma Yechava? That it'll be left without the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. El di'ikar diri Ramban tzrichamim. Dolom yehei cholot ikar chobas ner chanukah b'shabbos mi'b'chol. In b'chol o yotza im kavsa is gam shabbos havelel meimar de lo yotza. Wow, it means that both the Ramban and Rashi are putting all the emphasis here on the following critical moment in time. When you see the light getting dim, how did you respond? That's the eker question over here. And the whole thrust of passeling these shmonim is because we're afraid that at that critical moment, what do they call it? There's a phrase for that, the critical moment. Anyway, at that moment in time, he's going to mess up. Which is really, really paradoxical. We're not worried about the candle going out. We're worried about his response when the candle is getting dim and flickering. That he might not stand up to the plate and be misakin. He'll just fly the coop. That's what we're worried about. And ultimately, that's the reason why we're gonna disqualify these inferior oils, because we're afraid at the moment of truth, maybe we could call it that, the critical moment of truth, he's going to fail. And he's not going to be misakin. But Dilma Yechava, let's say it will go out. So you're going to have to say like this, that the Dilma Yechava would only undermine the original Adlaka. That's the maximum power you can give to Dilma Yechava. And we're going to say no. The fact that it went out, that's not my fault. And therefore, you cannot undermine my original hadlok. So why then does Rav Huna say that we have to disqualify these shmonim? For a different reason. Not because it undermines the original hadlok. That wouldn't bother me. That adlocker was a valid adlocker. But because we want you to now rekindle the lamp. There's a brand new chiv to rekindle the lamp. We want to get an ner doluk. So it's amazing. We're splitting two dimensions of ner chanukah. There's one dimension ner chanukah, the mice adlocker, and that he can achieve even if the candle goes out. But kofsa zakakla means there's another dimension to ner chanukah, a kiyum of ner doluk. And here's where we have to invalidate the shmonim, because we're afraid that the second dimension of their dolk he won't fulfill. How does Rashi formulate this principle that we're afraid you won't have an ner dolk? Rashi says, Dilma Pasha Malo Masakin. So now, if we get back to the Ramban is saying, well, if the whole reason we're passing the shmonim is because of that critical moment when you become aware of the fact that the lamp is flickering, that has no application on Leil Shabbos. And therefore, Mimela, I can go with the Mandi Omer who says, Kovsa ain't Zok. Because everybody in this case is going to agree, Kovsa
Ein Zolkitlo.
Just one second. Let's see if all the pieces of the puzzle fit into place. And why is it that the Shemen is possible? Because you want this. But if it went out...
But wait a second. If we're saying that we need the Ner Dolok, and now we have to gauge your response when it starts flickering, then how much more so... If it goes out, you won't be the kind of the mitzvah. You're gonna have to say the following. We're not worried about the candle going out. We're worrying about your negligence in guaranteeing that the nair will last as an air dog for a certain period of time. We'll call it a half hour. So for that half hour, we want you to be responsible to see to it that this nair continues to live and be well. So what we're saying is that if the nair goes out, but wait a second, Kof says Zalkaklam means if the nair goes out, you have to rekindle it. Why isn't that enough to disqualify all these shmonim? Just simply the fact that if it goes out, you'll have to rekindle it. What?
You might not bother.
I don't hear you, sorry.
You might not bother to...
No, but again, what we're trying to say is that if the issue is that he might not bother, what he might not bother to rekindle it?
Yeah.
Just one second, he might not bother to rekindle. If that's what's going on, he might not bother to rekindle it. No, but then you're saying that the whole thrust of the psul here in those shmonim is because he won't rekindle it. Right? Should apply on Shabbos with a Kalvah Chomer. What we're trying to do is, we're trying to chapa right before the light goes out. But that doesn't make any sense, because what are you saying? That if, you know, if he's negligent on his responsibility before it goes out, that's going to be a problem to undermine his mitzvah. But if it goes out, that's not a problem. I mean, the whole reason we wanted to supervise the candles to make sure it doesn't go out. So obviously, if it went out, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah, at least one dimension of the mitzvah. And therefore, we have to see to it that he rekindles the lamp. If it's the original... maybe that's the chapter. If it's the original candle, and it hasn't gone out yet, then he could fulfill Ner Dolok. And now we can expect him and demand of him to stand over the nair. If the candle goes out, then what are we going to say to him? Rekindle another one? In order to what? To fulfill the mitzvah of nair dolok? The answer is no. He's not obligated in the mitzvah of nair dolok. He's only obligated in the mitzvah of nair dolok vis-a-vis the first candle. The replacement candle is already a different candle. So there's no Ner Dolok on the different candle. In other words, when he replaces it, it's not an Ner Chanek. Why? Because he was already Yotzei, the mitzvah of Maisad Lok, on the first Ner. So if the first Ner is a Ner, then the second Ner is not a Ner. There's no such thing as creating a Ner simply because of Ner Dolok. He's Memela. We're not worried about the candle going out, because if the candle goes out, that's it. The mitzvah ended, and there's nothing. Ein Malasot. You know, it's Farfalim. But what's not farfallen is if that original nair on which he made the bracha and he did that lacha could become an nair dolok. That's what we want to achieve. That's why we're going to apostle all these other shmonim. Because of that dimension of nair dolok in the original nair. And that's Rashi's Dilma Pasha. So the Ramban says that Dilma Pasha has no application in the case of nair Shabbos, in the case of nair Chanukah on Leil Shabbos. You can't require him to supervise the nair, make sure that he fixes it up, so it should remain a nair dolok. Stuff in the mail on Shabbos, the entire mitzvah of Chanukah exhausts itself in the Maisad Lokah. There is no second dimension to nair dolok. Or at least there's no second obligation. I don't know, it could be that you know, if everything is equal and all things are going well, then he'll gain a mitzvah of nair dolok and persona nes. But that's not his responsibility. His responsibility terminates with the Maisad Lok. Mashenkin, during the week, says the Ramban, there your responsibility goes beyond the Maisad Lok. It's to make sure that this Nair is a Nair Dolok. Now, how would you possibly make sure that this is a Nair Dolok? So you could have said, well, I'm going to hover over the Nair.
But we're not going to rely on you for that. Dilma Pasha. Is Mavela, you have to use the superior quality oils. But on Leil Shabbos, where there's no way we can possibly guarantee that you hover over the Nair, so Mavela, the mitzvah becomes the Maisad Loch. But why? I don't get it. Why couldn't we just require that he uses the superior quality oils, and that way the oil itself will last longer and it'll become an erdol? Why does the Ramban say that the same oils that apostle the rest of the week become kosher on Shabbos of Chanukah? So you're saying because if it gets, we're afraid it might get weak, and if it gets weak, then you have to stand over the Nair, and that obligation we cannot impose on Leil Shabbos. We could have simply passed these Neiros because of Shemiyah. But the answer is that we're not worried about Shemiyah. I said we weren't worried about Shemiyah because he can't replace the Nair. The Nair is already gone. Now we're saying a different thing, that we're not worried about Shemi Yiftah because statistically it's not probable that it'll go out. And if we don't have to consider that minor but way out statistical possibility, but it's not a real possibility. Yeah, what bothers me, I will say. I'm trying to figure out, according to the Ramban's frame of reference, why don't we require superior quality oils on Shabbos?
That would be a...
Just to guarantee that the light will last. I mean, we're holding kofsa zakuto, so we want the light to last, and we want to get an air dolk. So the best way of guaranteeing that would be to require the best quality oils, and you're doing that on a chol. Why not do that on Shabbos as well? Just to achieve the goal of chanukah. So you're gonna have to say that even in the case of inferior oils, we're not afraid that it's going to go out. We're going to afraid it's going to start getting dim. But why are we afraid that it might get dim? Who cares if it gets dim? Unless because you're afraid it's going to go out. I mean, right? Is there any other reason why?
Less for Shemay Nisa. If it goes dim, I can't see it as well.
It gets dim. So.
Wait, 1 second. Let me just think about what you're saying. You're saying that if... No, but I don't understand, Joel. If you're afraid that you're forfeiting Pirsumi Nisa when it gets dim, how much more so if it goes out entirely? So why not just guarantee that it won't go out by getting the superior oils? That's why I'm tempted to think that we're not afraid that it's going to go out. So what are we afraid of? We're afraid it'll get dim. Afraid it'll get dim. Yeah, but then Rashi says it'll get dim, and now you have the responsibility to... You have the responsibility to... to supervise the Nair. So, just 1 second. Afraid. Again, this question keeps gnawing at my brain here. Why get involved in inferior quality oils? Why not just... We don't want apostle oils. You're innocent until proven guilty. Maybe because of money, it's too much money. So we want to include this in the game. The only problem is going to be Dilma Pasha. That somehow is Pshia. And if it goes out, we're not worried about that. Because, that's what you're going to have to say here, Abosai. Let me try one more time and see now. Maybe it'll work. I don't know. What we have to differentiate here is between two concepts. One concept is called Pshia, and the other concept is called onus. Now, if we assume, let's assume that in the case of we'll call it inferior oils, let's assume there's a 10% chance that the oil's going to go out. So that if there's a 10% chance that the oil would go out, let's think about two possible scenarios. One scenario is, boom, the oil goes out immediately. in one split second. Why? Because the wind comes and blows out the oil. Another possibility is that by nature, because of these inferior oils, within a process of time, as time passes, it gets weaker and weaker. So what did Chazal do in that case? They said the following: if the candle goes out, I don't have to worry about that, because if the wind blows it out, that's called onus. Onus means, you know, these are circumstances beyond your control. The wind came, there was nothing you could ask me to do. But what we are afraid of in inferior oils is a pshia. What do you mean a pshia? The wind came and blew it out? No, the wind didn't come and blew it out. The oil itself was not being drawn to the wick, or the wick and the oil are not communicating properly. They're not connecting. There's a disconnect over here because of the inferior quality of these oils and wicks. In such a case, we don't want to lose the candle, and we're worried about pshia. But when can we worry about pshia? Only during the week, not on Shabbos. So that's the Ramban. So the Ramban is worried about pshia, and he's not worried about onus. So there's a whole new pshat kofsa zakakla. Kofsa zakakla says Rashi mean we're worried about pshia. That's what zakakla means. Zakakla doesn't mean that if the light goes out you have to rekindle it, because if the light went out, that's an onus. Zakakla means to live up to your responsibility to do whatever is in your power to bridge the gap between the inferior nature of the oil as it sucks as it attaches to the wick, and the perfect oil that you could have purchased. Right, so you save yourself a dollar on each candle. So now you have to bridge that dollar. How do you bridge that dollar? By standing over the candle. Even though time is money, but we want you to spend that half hour standing over the candle. If you're going to be poshea, then we've lost the ball game here. And therefore, we don't want these oils. But if there's no possibility of requiring you to stand over the oil, elo what? We're going to be afraid of Shem Yechab, and well, Shem Yechab is on us. That's already beyond your control. The only thing we could be responsible for and add to the nature of your piyuv is to stand over the oil and supervise it for that half hour to make up the difference between expensive oil and cheap oil, so to speak. I'm just using that term to l'saber ta'ozer. In the case of Shabbos, we can't do that. We can't possibly ask you to bridge that gap. So what we're going to do is we're going to say, you know what? Those inferior oils are okay. Because what undermines those inferior oils is the pshia in your responsibility to upgrade the oil mechanically from not chemically but mechanically from inferior oil to superior oil. How can you mechanically make that switch? By standing over the oil, and that you can't do on Shabbos. So let's just see if this all works out. So now it comes out there. So our kasha was, why doesn't Rashi and the Rambam introduce here Shem Yechaveh? Just 1 second. Why don't we introduce Shem Yechaveh? So the answer is, see, now we get to Shabbos. In the case of their Shabbos, why not say Shem Yechaveh? We just passed these oils for Chanukah because of Kavsa Zakakla. So we're really worried about that situation. The answer is because no, on Shabbos we wouldn't worry about that. It might go out. So wait a minute. So we have to worry about Ner Dolk, and if it might go out, so we're going to have to say again that he's honest. I don't like it too much now. I liked it before when I was dealing with Ner Chanukah. When I'm dealing with Ner Shabbos, a little bit weaker. So what we're saying about Ner Shabbos, that if he uses these inferior oils and then they go out, that's already called onus. Elo what? They might go out gradually. Well, then you can't call them a poshet. So Mimela, as far as Ner Shabbos is concerned, we're going to elevate the inferior oils to the same status as the superior oils, and we're going to qualify them for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. What are you worried about that the you can't be worried that the wind is going to blow it out, because that's on us. Eli, you're worried about the slow, gradual process within the inferior oils, that you could have guaranteed that they would reach the level of a Nair Doluk, and you could have hovered over them and supervised them. The answer is that doesn't apply to Shabbos. So the Ramban is saying that doesn't apply to the Shabbos of Chanukah as far as Nair Chanukah is concerned, and therefore we can accept and validate the inferior oils. And now we're going to say, even as far as Nair Shabbos is concerned, we can validate the inferior oils. Comes the Ramban and he says, but Shema Yata, that here we have to worry about the fact that you might tamper with the Nair. And why? Because you want to use the Nair for your own purposes. Now let's see if this is in any way vaguely similar to what he wants to say. I don't know. Vanira Muchach Nirashi Varamban the Aflaman the Omer Kovsa Zokakla Mitzvah Nair Chanukah Havi B'maisa Hadloka Atzma. Well, yes and no. I mean, we went a little further. We said it's the Maisa Hadloka plus guaranteeing that the Nair will be a Nair Doluk. So I don't know if he's going with our pshat. He says, Kamo l'man yom ha-kovsa ein zokik lo. Mitzvot sh'yase masa adloka sh'yucha lidole kishir. He's kamo chen l'man yom ha-kovsa zokik lo. Ikar ha-mitzvah ba-adloka s'nei chanik niskaima b'maisa adloka. Maybe he's talking about Shabbos here. He wants to get the Ramban in. That in the case of Shabbos, that we can't impose upon him an additional obligation in Ner Doluk. Therefore, we're going to have to say that the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, or Ner Chanukah on Shabbos, exhausts itself in the Maisa Adlokah. But Akta Svir Lachman, the Omer, the Kolzman, if the old Kovsa Zokah, the Kolzman, Shemishtishka Kama, Chitagwe, Mishuk, Chayav Lahadlik Ner, Chanukah Odpam. Oh, see, that far I didn't want to go. I didn't want to say that he has to rekindle the light. He said, "Afleman the Omer Kovsa Zokik La Kfar Yotza Ikar Mitzvah Ner Chanukah Vadloka Rishona Afilu Im Yichpev Rakhal of Chiv Chodesh Lahadlik Ner Chanukah Opa." I think he means the same thing as us, but his language is much different than ours. He's saying that there's a new chiyuv to be madlik the nair when it went out. I wouldn't say such a thing. I'd say if it went out, then that's it. You know, your nair chanukah is history. You can't just take a nair chol and call it a nair chanukah, you know, through some sort of mechanical, magical act that you can't do. It's shaper kosarash cholach shashu gakpa shema yifshav lo metaken lo. Right? Because he's got to make this nair into a nair dol. I will call Shehe Onus Melo Yachol Chiv. Okay, Rabbi said, whenever you see him using the word Chiv Chadosh, what he means is to supervise the Nair and guarantee that that original Nair will be a Nair Dol. And that doesn't apply on Shabbos. Kmo Chain, Ein Lochash Al Zman Shin Nichber, Ashi Adlikenu, the Kfar Kiem Iker Adloka. Okay, that's good. Well, if he's Osi Shapir, well, we have to stop for Mincha. Mashikosav Haramban, the Shabbos, the Lekha Mitzvah Lahadlik, Acharkak, Sheyichbez, Lekha Nafkamina. Okay, I said a little different, that he can't stand over the Nair because he can't tamper with the Nair and improve it. The Aflaman Yom Kovsa Zok, Lashaki Yikai Mitzvah Sadloka, Bahanach Shmoni. Okay, so I think that's good. I think that's pretty good.
Shukriya.
Okay, then, Rabbi. That was a real piece of work. I'm just going to leave the door open for a minute because I see that it's starting, so I'm going to just try to analyze this one more time and see if it works out. All right. Let's stop here.